Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It from WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and yes, you know it's Giving Tuesday. There are ways to give besides cash. You can give your time or part with some clothing or item you really don't use. Last week, a flyer caught my eye on the way into work. It was about a coat and food drive benefiting recent asylum seekers in our area. And it is happening tomorrow, Wednesday, November 30th, at the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Community Center on 13th Street. That's just one way to make a difference. And I bet you all know some more. So team All of It. We want to hear from you about any clothing drives, mutual aid fridges, canned food drives that you know about in and around New York City and our area. Our phone lines are open, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Now, we're crowdsourcing this, so we're going to ask that you do your very best to have some of the details, but we want to know ways to help out. People who need help this season, maybe it's a church you know of that has a food distribution plan, shout it out. Maybe a community center that hosts a dinner or a breakfast or is partnering with another organization, shout it out. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or you can hit us up on our social media, Twitter and Instagram, at All of It WNYC, and let us know. No. So back to that flyer about the LGBT Center. I reached out to the contact email on it, and joining us now is Alana Cantillo, Vice President of Advocacy for New York Immigration Coalition, the organization partnering with the center to collect coats and food to benefit people who have come to New York as part of the wave of migrants seeking a new life. Alana, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What is the mission of your organization? Let's start there.
Well, the NYC works with, in coalition, just as our name indicates, with over 200 organizations across New York State to develop policy and create issue-based campaigns that make our society more inclusive, more welcoming to immigrants, and just more supportive of recent arrivals overall.
Tell us a little bit about the population that this drive is meant to serve.
Sure. So over the summer, you know, we started to see buses arriving from the southern border. And, you know, we saw volunteers, you know, groups like the NYC, our own members in the city, try to respond with, you know, just triaging some of those concerns, getting folks access to, you know, cell phones to get in contact with their families. They're very confused and, you know, very drained after such a arduous journey, a connection to shelter and other resources that we have in New York. You know, luckily we have a climate and a ecosystem that, you know, doesn't bar people from certain services just because they're a naturalization status. So we want to make sure that folks, our newest New Yorkers are getting access to that information.
How did the partnership come about with the LGBT Center, and who are some of the other stakeholders involved?
Sure. You know, the LGBT Center has some fabulous programming. We know that they're a center of community life and a community hub. But, you know, we see a lot of alignment in our missions, and we support each other, you know, in the movement for immigrant rights and the movement for LGBTQIA plus rights. It was sort of a natural collaboration. You know, we advocate together in different halls of power, identifying different intersectional issues to try to fight discrimination and to support marginalized communities like queer communities, undocumented communities. So it was an obvious partnership. You know, we work more on the advocacy front. They work on the programming front. So we know that they've got the sort of the foot traffic and the community reputation that would be a great host for this event.
So when I mentioned that I was just walking by and I happened to see it, and I think a lot of people always wonder, so after I donate my coat or my canned goods, what happens then?
Sure. So we've really become sort of experts in this sort of collection. You know, we've worked with several elected officials, many of which are also supporting tomorrow's event on clothing drives, on donating and redistributing PPE. The NYC At the Port Authority for several months, was also distributing dignity bags, so just emergency toiletries and COVID tests and, you know, a New York State toolkit for resources on sort of benefits people had when they got here, access to emergency health care, you know, the access to, you know, a municipal ID, you know. But now that folks have been sort of settled for some time, we're hearing different needs arriving from our members, and they are ultimately the beneficiaries of tomorrow's event in particular. And so we're hearing food security is a major issue. Mm-hmm. As the weather changes, folks have different sort of material needs. And so we're partnering with four of our members. POTS, or part of the solution based in the Bronx, really focuses on food security and poverty reduction. NIMIC, a fabulous Manhattan-based non-for-profit group along with Queens Community House, both settlement houses that really work on different housing issues and immigration issues and, you know, access to different benefits of financial literacy. Queens Community House, obviously, located in Queens. And then lastly, Mixteca, a community-based organization in South Brooklyn that's really been trying to enrich their programming to support recent arrivals with immigration services, Know Your Rights programming, mm-hmm. Access to health and adult education. So those are the partners we're working on this case, but we sort of work with different community-based organizations and elected leaders to identify the needs and make sure that we're redistributing through couriers, through, you know, U-Haul rentals, right, through different means to make sure that these folks are getting in the right hands.
So I understand for folks who think, I can't get to 13th Street tomorrow, that there's an event happening in Queens where people can get involved.
Yes, on December 6th, and we're having another event in our Key to the City event series, where we go out into the community and we bring together a lot of these members and direct service organizations to just connect individuals with different program needs, you know, whether that's access to a license or access to school enrollment. And our upcoming event is on December 6th in Queens. And we always recruit volunteers that help us with setup or, you know, distributing meal vouchers or just giving out distribution, helping us with setup and breakdown. And so, you know, the NYC has a volunteer form that expresses these different types of opportunities. So we encourage people to go onto our website and sign up and see if they're available for that upcoming date or just future dates. We have ongoing programming that we encourage people to get involved and sort of be part of our community.
And you want to give that website a shout out?
Sure. It's nyic.org.
Ana Cotillo. Cotillo is Vice President for Advocacy at NYIC, the New York Immigration Coalition. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's take a few calls. Lily calling in from Hicksville. Hi, Lily. Thanks for calling All of It. What do you have?
I called in. Thank you so much for a great show. I wanted to share that when I was a young girl, I ended up living in a shelter mm-hmm. out in Long Island. It was a shelter for women and children facing domestic abuse or displacement. And ever since I was 12 years old, and now I'm 43 years old, I have every year made sure that when it was possible for me to go and donate specifically for the children, because mm-hmm. I ended up going into the shelter 2 days before Christmas.
Wow.
And Christmas morning, my sister who was 5 and I who was 12 years old at the time, woke up to open up Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. And I have never forgotten the feeling of being seen, or at least being acknowledged that I existed, and knowing that the charity and just the good nature of other people really didn't make a significance in my life. And I want to pay that forward. And secondly, yesterday I happened to go in to return something at a beauty store. And I had shared with the young lady that I had purchased something that I had at home that didn't agree with my skin. I had an allergic reaction to it. And she's like, oh, you should return it. I said, you know what? I really don't even have the time to do that. And she said, any product that you have that's unused or gently used, or mm-hmm. if you have any products at home, she's like, why don't you, instead of returning it, if you don't want to return it, then don't get rid of it, donate it, go to a shelter, there are a lot of women or there are a lot of people who are displaced who can use that makeup because of, you know, whether they're going on an interview.
Sure.
And these are things that sometimes we take for granted at times, or we just simply forget. But it was, she spoke to my heart, and I can't wait to, you know, do that as well. But I usually call up the shelter. I ask if there's any families that I can, you know, send something to, and I make sure to include all of the family members, or simply just do it for the children that year. But it makes a huge difference in a child's life to be acknowledged and to be seen. And it's something that is invaluable.
Lily, thank you so much for sharing your personal story. Let's go to Mark calling in from Middlesex, New Jersey. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hey, how are you? Thank you. Every year, my hiking group, we hold a thing called the Hiker's Ball. You can find us at thehikersball.com. And what we do is we have everybody comes in. It's a fancy meal and dance and so forth. And everyone brings women underwear so that we can donate to homeless shelters, which I happen to know happens to be a very important need there, because my daughter works at New York City homeless shelter. And this year, we're actually honoring some of the people that do work at homeless shelters. So we've been calling around, inviting caretakers, the people that are working in homeless shelters, to come to our Hiker's Ball and to just enjoy, you know, the open bar, the food, and the dancing. And we're just trying to do the right thing. It's 6,300 hikers in our group.
Wow.
And we just try our best every week, Saturday and Sunday, to get together and hike. The group is called Trail Shrinks. The idea is that each person may have an idea in their mind about some subject, but each person has to listen to the other side, whether they agree with it or not. And it's cultivated a really nice group of people that are very caring. Our event is December 10th in Clark, New Jersey at the Grand Centurion. The fee for those people that want to attend that are not caretakers is $105. We're not trying to sell tickets, but we would like to see some caretakers that work so hard and give so much of themselves to just come and dance, bring your partner or meet some people there, and just have a great time.
That sounds like you were listening to our conversation earlier about how important it is to help caregivers. Really appreciate you calling in, Mark. We'll get to some more calls in a minute. I did want to bring in WNYC's Gwen Hogan, because she profiled another group trying to help new arrivals, made up of teachers and kids at a public school in Queens. Okay, tell us a little bit more about where the school is and how you heard about their story.
Yeah, I recently came out earlier this week. It's an elementary school in Corona, Queens, PS 134, Louis Armstrong. This is, you know, Corona is a vibrant immigrant community. Mm-hmm. Tons of people from all over the world start their New York journey in Corona. But this school in particular this year saw a huge increase in students in temporary housing. By data that I found, they actually had the more new students in temporary housing this year than any other school in the city.
Wow.
When this data was collected. So that was a snapshot in time, but it was almost 100 students. And as we know, you know, many of these new students are the children of asylum seekers who've recently arrived. Many of them are from Venezuela, but they are from lots of different countries. And the needs among this population are very different from students in temporary housing that the school catered to before. You know, they're arriving without shoes, without winter coats. You know, they are not, you know, can't speak English, but also maybe learning to read in their own language. And so one of the things, you know, after I looked through this data and identified the school, I reached out and learned through the grapevine that they had this free store. So I thought that was sort of a nice way in to see sort of what this community was doing to embrace these kids. And the teachers were like, you know, I saw a mother pushing her child to school in a shopping cart. So we got her a stroller the next day. I saw two young siblings sharing a winter jacket. They would take turns walking to school. And they got them a jacket. So it was sort of like they were putting out these little fires one by one. And they were like, hey, we need a store for this that parents can shop anytime they want. They can come in. And it's, of course, not just for the new asylum seeking students. It's for any student who has needs at the school.
So these teachers saw kids and families in need and then created this quote unquote store. And it's within the school, and that people can donate and someone can walk up and be like, hey, I need a coat.
That's exactly right. It's totally open.
Sounds grassroots.
Yeah. It's in a space that used to be used kind of for indoor recess, but there's plenty of space for indoor recess. So they were like, we'll put it in this corner. Anytime the school is open, parents can come in and use it. I was there at sort of a quiet time, so I didn't get to talk to any parents there, but the teachers sort of sort through all the donations. They bring donations themselves. Originally, they were just like, what do I have in my closet? That's going to be in the store. Wow. But now, you know, they are talking about Giving Tuesday. Mm-hmm. They're definitely taking donations. You can get in touch with the parent coordinator. Toys are really big. And winter coats, you know, not just for this school, but as we're seeing, you know, citywide, we're talking about almost 30,000 recently arrived asylum seekers at this point, a number that keeps going up. Mm. Winter coats are huge at this time of year.
The principal used the word in your piece, you quoted, used the word dignity to describe something that this offers the family. Our guest before used the word dignity as well. I'm curious, and when you talk to the teachers and the principal about it, why that word is so important.
Yeah, I think it's sort of they wanted people to feel like agency in selecting the things that they needed and not feel like, you know, that they were accepting, like, not feel paternalistic in any kind of way. Like, this is a store. It's open. If you need something, come take it. Like, then you get to browse the way you would at a store if you have trouble accessing funds. It doesn't matter here. So I think that the dignity of, like, this is a resource. You don't have to use it, but you can. It's here for you.
Everybody, go read Gwen Hogan's story on Gothamist and WNYC. Thank you for sharing your reporting.
Thanks so much.
Let's take a few more calls. Doty is calling in from Inwood. Hey, Doty, thanks for calling All of It. What can you tell us?
Hi. Thank you, Allison. I'm really touched by the past three stories from Lily, Mark, and Gwen. But I had already called in to share that I live in Inwood, and Inwood, like Gwen said, is a very vibrant immigrant community, and we seem to be having more trouble than in the past, I guess, especially since COVID. Mm-hmm. And I do know of at least three, and probably a fourth that's coming up, places where people can give, donate items that they have or donate items they want to give, new or used. So the first is Good Shepherd Church, and they have had a food pantry for a very long time. And I came by a sign last Saturday on their gate, you know, that leads to the pantry, that said that the families or people who had already signed up for food donations, you know, to get food donations on a weekly basis, because it's just one day a week, they now can only come every other week, which is not a good sign.
Right.
So I would think that Good Shepherd Church, that has a rectory on Isham Street between Broadway between Cooper Street and Seaman Avenue, which is all basically one block west of Broadway. They, I think, could use food donations.
Okay.
I'm sure it's dry food, canned food.
Doty, I'm going to dive in because we have a whole bunch of people and I want to get to as many. We're going to do rapid round. All right. Line one, Jessica from the Bronx. You've got 30 seconds. Go.
Hi, thank you. I'm Jessica DeGracia Wolford. I'm the founder of a mutual aid group called Kingsbridge Unidos. We've delivered over 40,000 pounds of fresh produce to families uptown in the Bronx, unhoused families, black and brown families who just need a lot of support. And we are in the midst of launching a very exciting program in partnership with a number of cyclists across the Bronx and New York City. We rescue.
How can people help? Jessica, shout out your website.
Okay, so you can tweet me at JessWolfordBX, and what we're looking for are bike mechanics. We need folks who can help us rehab these 75 bikes that we're going to distribute to kids for free for Three Kings Day. So it's JessWolfordBX, and I hope to meet some of y'all soon.
That's very cool. Marie in Brooklyn, 30 seconds. Go for it.
Hi. I'm in Flatbush area, and I recently lost my food stamps, and I actually found some really great organizations that help. One of them is People in Need, and that's peopleinneed.org. The Flatbush Friendly Fridge, which is at 499 Rogers at Midwood. Flatbush United Mutual Aid, and then the various fridges that are around the city, like the East 16th Fridge between Cortilia Road and Beverly. And then there's a pantry between Cortilia and Beverly on East 18th. And they don't often have very much in there. So I just encourage more people to drop off canned goods and things that can go in a pantry. But I appreciate all the help I've been given.
Awesome, Marie. We are writing all this down, by the way. And Heather in Huntington, you get the last 30 seconds.
So I am the director of development at ECLI Vibes, which is the merging of two awesome agencies. We are actually in Islandia, and we work with victims of sexual assault, domestic violence, and human trafficking. We served over 3,000 victims in the last year. We have a food pantry, so we're always looking for donations to our food pantry. And importantly, we also have volunteer night, the first Wednesday of every month from 6 to 8, where we get a whole bunch of activities for volunteers to help with our cause. So you can sign up at it at our website. It's www.vibesli.org.
Heather, thank you so much. By the way, everybody, we made a list. We'll get it out there. Thanks to everybody who called in. We really appreciate your help. Stay with us.